Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Boring, boring.
Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you. You.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts. It's
Daniel Bard. It's
Steve Aoki.
There's Saul Tlamakia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
All right, baseball is not boring. This is the first time I've uttered those words in 2023. I'm talking to a little Mike for the first time in 2023. And we're going to look back at this moment saying, oh my goodness, this is the first full year of the fastest growing cause in the year of our Lord, 2023. We got the ball rolling in 2022 with a podcast for a couple of months in. Now we really hit the ground running, which is exactly why I don't want to do year in review. I don't want to do predictions. I just want to keep sort of the momentum going. I want to keep the conversation going, the whatever's happening, top of mind. And top of mind today was I saw a tweet from Sean Spradling, who does a great job. I've just noticed this on Twitter, covering the WBC. I hope to have Sean on because I don't know if you know this, the WBC is this year, and it's of note because people like the WBC, and there's a lot of players playing it. Including, by the way, Masa Yoshida. Masa Yoshida is the outfielder who the Red Sox signed to a five-year, $90 million contract. They are putting a lot of eggs in his basket, and that basket that is Masa Yoshida, outfielder, lefty hitter, outfielder, bat-to-ball guy, power-hitting guy, diminutive guy, not big. Diminutive means not big. And so we'll see. The ultimate, we'll see. It's also interesting, and I do want to get into further podcasts about the WBC dynamic. And like I said, maybe we'll get Sean on others. We've already had, if you want to go back a week or so ago, we had on Adam Jones and Mark DeRosa, Taka, Annie and Kinsler on the Baseball's and Boring podcast talking about the WBC and how it's really taken a notch up, taken a turn up. In terms of participation, in terms of interest among the players. And when it comes to Masa Yoshida playing for Samurai Japan in 2023 World Baseball Classic, well, the Red Sox weren't positive that that was going to happen, but, you know, I think that a lot of people thought that maybe, you know, that the lure is a different sort of responsibility, a different sort of lure. There's a different sort of expectation. So I don't think anyone was overly surprised that Yoshida is going to be playing in the WBC. So that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about what it looks like when he gets back, what it looks like when the season starts, and what really the free agent outfield market looks like overall. So when we get to the end of the day being the All-Star break, the end of the day being the end of the 2023 season, when we get there, who are we going to look back as the best free agent outfield signing, not name Aaron Judge? Aaron Judge is going to be great. He makes a lot of money. We get that. But after him, who is going to be the best free agent signing? So let me put these three names in the mix. Let me put four names in the mix. So other than the first one, after Judge, Brandon Nimmo signs a five-year, $110 million deal. So he was perceived in going in to be the top outfield guy after Judge. Everyone knew that. He goes back to the Mets. All right, 5 years, 110. Mark that down. Bookmark it, whatever you want to do. All right. And then you have Andrew Benintendi, and Benintendi gets 5 years as well, just shy of Yoshida's deal. So just about the same age as Yoshida, by the way. Then you have, I think, you know, the wild card in the situation is Michael Conforto. He signed to the Giants, a 2-year deal. Obviously, there's a lot of injury concerns, but who knows? You know, that one could go either way. This is sort of forking the road for Michael Conforto. Giants, after they missed out on Judge, after they missed out on Correa, they need to add some people, so they add Conforto. And then you have Yoshida. So anybody who says this is absolutely what's going to happen with Masa Yoshida and he's going to be this guy, we can't predict. We thought Seiya Suzuki was going to end up having a better year, his first year with the Cubs, than he did. And this is his first year. He was okay. But, you know, you talk about some of the people who had played with him, who had seen him in Japan. It's like, this guy's going to be a star right away. And he has some injury problems, but we'll wait to see what happens with that. Now, what does this mean for Yoshida? What is he going to be? All we know is that he's going to play left field. His defense ability probably won't lead him to the expanse that is right field at Fenway Park. Certainly not center field. So you have that dynamic. You think that he's going to hit with some power, especially going the other way at Fenway. So, all right, we think that. We think that he won't strike out a lot, which I think that it's a sneaky thing in how teams are viewing everything with a change in shifts. And also just seeing what happened with the Astros at the end. This is a team that was just putting the ball in play. So teams want to put the ball in play a little bit more. So all of that, that's what we know. But what we don't know is this going to be a guy who you can say, okay, you're at the top of the order, you're going to set the stage. Or you're going to have to sort of bury him in the 6, 7, 8 spot in the lineup, which, to be perfectly honest, won't be a great look because you gave the guy 5 years, $90 million plus the posting fee. So we'll see. But I think it's a good conversation. I right now in this podcast, for the purposes of this podcast, we are going to take the leap of faith and we'll say, hey, you know what? After Aaron Judge, you know who could be the best outfield free agent acquisition? It could be Masa Yoshida. Let's just play that game. So if we're going to play that game, then I need some proof, some evidence to back it up. So that's why I had on Red Sox executive Gus Quattlebaum on the podcast to dive into it, because he was sort of one of the point people for the Red Sox when it came to identifying Yoshida, securing Yoshida, all of that. So he has a better perspective of this. So I'm going to give you a good chunk of that conversation to talk about Yoshida. All right, as we storm into 2023, everyone follow, everyone subscribe, everyone buy the t-shirts, buy the hoodies, buy the book, all of it. Leave a nice review. I appreciate everybody. We're going to be expanding across the globe, across the country, certainly across the MLB, and look forward to the conversation. It's easy ones to have because something happens in baseball every day. I don't think there's any question of that, and we're just proof of that. 5 days a week, at least, Baseball's and Boring podcast. And if you're a Red Sox centric, Brad Foe show as well. All right, here you go. Well, here is your way to kick off 2023 by getting excited over Masa Yoshida, courtesy Gus Quattlebaum. So why does this guy excite you so much about the idea of him playing for the Red Sox?
Really, what stood out, like I said earlier in this show, you know, the approach, we evaluate hitters with three different buckets: the swing take decisions, the contact, and then the quality of the contact. And he checked all those boxes for us. Then you couple it with whatever data we can acquire with the TrackMan data that we can get out there in the MPB. And then we do our digging with our scouting. We get their opinions based on video work. We get the opinions of our hitting coaches. It's not just our scouts. Like I said, there's so many people involved with that. But just understanding the quality of contact, the consistency of contact, the approach, the way he used the field, we just thought it'd be a really nice addition to our lineup. And you're seeing the game where there's a ton of swing and miss in the industry now. And this guy stood out as a different type of approach, one that we could really benefit from in our lineup. And I know Alex would like that in his lineup, regardless of how Alex chooses to build the lineup.
You know, it's interesting you say there's a lot of swing and miss in the game, and this is being valued of, and I think it's probably going to be valued more. Go back to the World Series. I mean, look at what the Astros did. Just putting the ball in play. I mean, just putting the ball going, you know, you have some really, really nasty. All I need to do is go to our good friend Pitching Ninja to see how nasty pitching is. It's so tough. And so if you can put the play, especially in, we don't know exactly how this is going to manifest itself with the lack of shifts.
Yeah. That's
right. I mean, that's part of it, right?
Interesting point there. Yeah. That could certainly factor in. I mean, I reflect back to my days with the Yankees in the late 90s, early 2000s. Those lineups would just grind. And I know how successful they could be to wear out, pitching staff on the other side. Now it's different now with bullpens coming in the fifth, sixth inning with huge stuff. But that anytime you can grind out at bats, I know that's something that a manager would appreciate.
Yeah, when the days I remember that this was the biggest feather in the Red Sox cap going back of like, oh, look at, they always at the top when it comes to pitches per plate appearance. You know, I remember when Napoli was signed, that was a big deal, right? This
year,
four and a half pitches per plate appearance. And you're right. It sort of went away from that. But it is going to be interesting. I'm glad that I made you think. I'm glad that you're going to be sitting at this wedding and thinking about, I wonder how more contact will manifest itself with no shifts.
I'm not going to give you credit for that, Rob. Sorry.
Oh, come on. By the way, let's just say if I hear other reporters echoing it, I'm going to know that it's a circle of life. All right. Yeah. My take is a circle of life. So when you look at your Sheetus spray chart, if you did look at his spray chart, how do you think if there were, here's another good question. If there were shifts, how would he be shifting? Or would he be shifting? Or was he shifting?
He the way he uses the field, I'm sure they would probably shift a little bit towards, right field, ground balls to, the second base side. But he uses the field so well with a very simple swing that, I don't know, I'm sure each team out in the MPB had a different approach on how they would defend him. But his ability to lift the ball with authority caught our attention specifically to left field. So hopefully that will translate in Fenway. We think he'll be a great Fenway fit. And it can be contagious. We've seen it with pass hitters like Schwarber, as an example, when he joined us, that approach seemed to rub off on others within the lineup. So is that something we can measure necessarily? No. But it's something that I saw it.
So that you think that the power, it sounds like his power can go to all of the fields, but if you had to pick one field that might pay off the most, it's the opposite way.
I would say so. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
I mean, he moves so well in the box. We've consulted with a number of hitting coaches on that, and they really liked how he could lift the ball the other way. And that obviously something catches our attention when we have Fenway Park, the short porch for left-handed bats. And we've had left-handed hitters in the past who've had success with that and makes him a better hitter.
It's interesting because as we were taping this the day before, Benintendi signs basically almost the same deal, is almost the same age. And I put up a poll. I've said, like, who would you rather have? Same, almost the same deal, almost the same age. I think you're going to like this, that about 70% said, we want Yoshida. And I think a big part of that is because people like the idea of what some guy is going to be. Benintendi's a solid player. There's a reason why he got a 5-year deal. He's a solid player. So, but if you had to say, okay, this is not to say, don't pick one because it's not fair. It's like that guy is going to be, Yoshida is like this guy. But give me some guys that you say, here are pieces of Yoshida that these guys have. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand where you're going with this. It's risky for us to get into the comp business. I guess where comps are useful in scouting is to cross-check ourselves with making sure that we're profiling these players properly. But I've learned over the years that dropping comps on players, they're not predictive. I've learned this from people involved in the horse racing industry. Like, it's just comps are useful to cross-check your own opinions. Are your grades lining up when you're profiling a player? But they're not predictive. And so we kind of stay away from that. But he's someone that, you know, you recognize the approach, the high walk rates, the ability to handle velo. And that's one thing that stood out. You know, it'd been a few years since I've been removed from in-person looks in MPB. But one thing that stood out to all of us when we went out there was, wow, the velo is climbing out here. And so, you know, the drive lines of the world are yielding their influence globally. A lot of these pitchers are going to drive line, or they're consulting with drive line type companies, facilities, and the velo is climbing. So we were able to see a guy like Yoshida and other hitters face better velo than we've seen in the past. So that gives you a little more solace when you're projecting on a player coming over here.
What is the difference in velo compared to there and here, just in a very, very broad general sense? So in other words, let's say that, there's X amount of, like, what percentage of guys can hit 100 here and what guys can hit 100 there? So what is the average?
Yeah, I would argue there's not as much depth in big power arms out in the MPB as you would see here domestically. But there are guys, whether it be out of the pen or some of the better starters in the game out there, they have big velo. And so cool. you can get good, but I don't have those numbers. And Rob, I'm not in analytics.
Well, listen, I mean, first of all, I'm going to ask you your scouting comp for yourself, because I'm not
going there.
No, you don't want to, like, say who you pattern yourself after. Come on.
No, I hope I'm evolving, you know, on a daily basis. So that's okay. Risky.
Yeah. But that's the old, I'm trying to think of an old scout that was smoking a cigar, you know, with a hat, and like, who nailed you basically like that. Oh, I know. Clint Eastwood. There you go.
His name was Gus in that movie. So that's right. About I would end the comparison.
You don't think that's a good, that you don't think that between that and the other scouting for the Red Sox, you don't think that all of that is tied together?
Who, Timberlake?
Yeah, Timberlake. Justin Timberlake could play you in the movie.
Oof, okay. That hurts his stock.
So if nothing else, Gus, we have managed to say that you're a combination of Clint Eastwood and Justin Timberlake. All right. So there you
okay.
go.
Okay. Yeah.
You'll take that?
They both have way better gaits than me. I can barely walk. So
no, listen, it's all about the eyes and the ears. So
fair enough.
I know my scouting. But when you come back to Yoshida, it's one of these things where when you see him, when we see him in person, the first thing that struck me when I saw him in person was that, you know, obviously his height, but it's true. He's a small guy. But I think the thing that you guys have going for this, which is anytime anyone says, oh, well, look at how small he is, there's the easy counter to that. It's number 15, right? I mean, it's the easy counter. Like, this is the great thing. Or if you want to go to Altuve, but you have Pedroia. And this is a great thing. The beauty of baseball, Gus, is that it doesn't matter how. But it didn't make me get into the conversations about Pedroia, because how he never got beat on a high fastball. And his hand-eye coordination was so insane. And I got to imagine, you know, that's in the compact swing. And so that's what sort of, like, reminded me, okay, you know what? I don't care how tall he is. This could still work, and I'm not going to be judgmental about his height.
Sure. And what we care more about than height, actually, is durability, physicality. How strong is he?
He's strong, right? I mean,
yeah, he's strong. Strong guy. I think our medical staff was impressed when we got to do the physical finally, by how strong he is physically. And, you know,
bench? I mean,
no, it's not a combine or anything.
No, you don't say here's 225. How many times you can push it up?
Exactly. No, we don't go to those levels, but we have a full evaluation once he gets here, and they came away impressed by where he is with his fitness. I mean, he's Macho Man, right? So
does he wear cutoffs? If so, and what am I asking?
I haven't familiarized myself with his wardrobe. Well,
when I give him a T-shirt, a Baseball Isn't Boring T-shirt, I want to know what kind he wants.
So sleeveless or not? Okay.
Yeah, exactly. There's so many boxes to check off that you guys had to.
Sure.
It's crazy. It's not like, hey, you know, this guy's really good. Let's offer him a big contract, and we need an outfielder. Boom, there it is.
Exactly. And I think we've set up an environment here with the Red Sox where a guy coming over from the MPB can have success. I mean, he mentioned it during the press conference. We're lucky. We have three full-time employees that are from Japan that speak the language. We have a massage therapist. We have a strength coach. We have a trainer. And they can help maximize this guy's physical potential. And they can build the relationships, they can build the trust. And I think that's what all our players want, is a staff that they can build trust with. And we're confident we have that. And then you have a manager who is empathetic to anyone coming from a different arena, coming from a foreign country, and making that what we know is a difficult transition, not only to the U.S., but to Boston, where there's a high standard. And all the work we did on the makeup of this guy, we're confident that he can handle this transition. I was really pleased, impressed by how he handled the press conference, which is never easy, with all the attention, and to have the guts to go out there and try to speak English, which he hasn't even learned yet. That showed me something.
You mentioned Cora too. I mean, it's not a direct line, but you know, we go back to the Daisuke conversation, or even like the Okajima conversation. Cora was a main cog in that clubhouse in his role. And I remember that clubhouse because that was the first time that you had to deal with it. And like I said, we'll never see anything like that again. We just won't. But I remember that I think they were giving out the Japanese classes to some of the players early in the morning. I think Veritek tried doing it for a while. But that was a big part of it. I think that Cora on that team probably like went a long way to try to do everything he could to sort of bridge any gaps there were, right?
Absolutely. Alex can empathize the moment Yoshida gets to Fort Myers. He can understand what it's going to be like. And you know, hopefully our next goal now is to make sure that this transition is as seamless as possible. So whether it be the technology that we have in our hitting cages, or you know, the dimensions of JetBlue Park, and then the staffing that can speak the language, we hope that we can make this transition a smooth one.
Well, I look forward to further analysis on March 10th in the seventh inning against the game against the Twins. So I guess you can
send me 500 words on why I should consider that opportunity.
Well, we always appreciate it both in spring training and certainly here. I mean, I hope you enjoyed yourself. I hope you enjoyed the forum that is a podcast like this. So I hope you enjoyed it.
New for me. I did. And, you know, we appreciate, you know, in scouting, we listen to you guys all the time when we're traveling. And it's a big, big part of keeping us connected to what's happening at Fenway or on the road. So we appreciate your guys' work as well.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.